You guys know what that sound means. This song means this is the Dirt Bike Channel podcast. This is Kyle Brotherson, and you are listening to Dirt Bike Channel. I have to apologize. It has been 10 days since I put out a podcast, and it isn't because I've neglected this. It's just because I've been working so freaking much that I haven't had time to do a podcast. Today, I feel like, is the day that it doesn't matter if I don't have time. It is the day to do another podcast. I don't want these things to be 10 days apart. I want to do one or two a week. And I just have not been able to as of late. I have a Dirt Bike Channel sweepstakes, which is going on. All you have to do is go to my website, and I'm giving 3 dirt bikes away between now and June 15th. June 15th is the day that it all closes, and if you go over to my website, dirtbikechannel.com, you can get entered to win all 3 of those bikes. They will all go to different winners. I also will be giving gift cards away to 10 or 7 other people, so I'll have 10 winners in all. And when I'm doing those sweepstakes, it's just my email workload goes up like so much that it's hard for me to do anything else. And the last few nights, I've decided to just kind of shut down at about 6, 7 o'clock and be with the family. And so that means I have a mound of emails in the morning and it just start over. Today, what I want to talk about, though, is my XCW. So today's podcast is going to be talking about the first 6.3 hours on my 2020 KTM 300 XCW. Yes, this bike is absolutely incredible and I'm super excited about it. It's always easier to do podcasts on things that you're excited about. And to be completely honest, that's pretty much how I've done my entire channel. I get people reaching out to me saying, hey, will you... Recently, I've had a number of people reach out to me saying, will you do a review on the Kawasaki KLX 300 or whatever, the air-cooled trail bike? And they see like, hey, 300, maybe Kyle will be interested in this. But the thing weighs like 700 pounds more than your typical enduro bike. It's air-cooled. It's just, it's maybe fine for some people out there, but it does not interest me right now. And so far, if there is maybe one of the secrets to my success, it's that on my channel, whether it's YouTube or the podcast, I've really only talked about stuff that I'm interested in. And because I have an interest in the things, more of that passion comes through and I am able to talk about it. And, whether I like it or not is beside the point. At least I have some passion about it and I'm interested about it. I'm not interested in some of these bikes, and so I haven't done them. And eventually, if I run out of bikes that I'm interested in, which is not likely because they keep redoing them, then I would move over to some bikes that I have a little bit less interest in. The 2020 KTM 300 XCW, I got interested in because I had the 2019 version of the bike, and it was very good, but I had some challenges with the bike, as you guys well know. I'll be giving that bike away, and it's an awesome bike. It's just when you're riding other bikes and they're perfect or nearly perfect, and then you've got a bike that is just kind of 90% there, it kind of irks at you. And that was kind of my experience with the 2019. A lot of people have had 2019 300 XCWs from KTM, and they've been awesome. Some of them have been awesome. Mine, I bought 2 of them on the same day. The first one, as far as I know, the first one is awesome. I gave that away to a gentleman in Colorado, Matt Dunn. He's never complained to me. Maybe he has had problems with it and he just hasn't, wanted to say like, bite the hand that feeds you or whatever. But I've had a few problems with my 2019 and it's something that I've worked with. The 2020, though, 300 XCW is just absolutely incredible. My buddy Tyler bought one before I did, and so I got to play around with it as early as November-ish time, October, November of last year, and I was like, whoa. They made some major, major improvements on the 2020 XCW. In fact, they made some bigger improvements on the XCW in the 2020 model year range than I think they've done any time since I've been paying attention to it, other than when I started paying attention and I was buying KTMs. I've pretty much had each model year since 2012. Some of those model years I've had multiples, like the 2020 model year, I've had 3 different bikes. I've had a 300 XC, 250 XC, and now the 300 XCW. So the biggest change that they ever did, KTM, was between the 16 and the 17 model year range, and those bikes got fuel, and I mean, they didn't get fuel injected. They got counterbalanced, and they got new frames, and they got a new fork, and like the whole thing changed. In 2019 to 2020, there were minor updates to the TPI system. They brought TPI over to the XC bikes, but they did some changes that kind of went under the radar on the XCW. It got a new frame, and it's totally different. The bike is totally different. They also updated the mapping, made the bike start better, which I'm going to get into here. You know, I've got a few different things to talk about. I don't know. This might not be the longest podcast ever, but I do have an outline of some things that I want to get into. The 2020, and I'll say this towards the end, but I guess I'll just say it now. If you have a 2019 KTM 300 or 250 XC TPI, and it runs perfect, because a lot of them do, you can just turn this podcast off right now, okay? Let me just save you some trouble. If you are, though, the guy that has a couple of issues, a couple qualms with your 2019, then this podcast is for you, because I'm going to talk about why the 2020 version might be a little bit better for you. But if you have no problems with your 2019, then there's not a real big reason to upgrade, because your bike is still new. It's still pretty good. And I say, let's turn you guys can turn the podcast off. For the rest of us, though, for the rest of us, though, the 2020 XCW is the most balanced XCW I've ever had. And people ask me, what do I mean by that? I'm talking about the way that it feels front to back. Maybe one of the bigger complaints that I've had over the last few years on the XCWs is just that they have this kind of weird stink bug-like feeling where the back end of the bike is higher than the front end of the bike. And you can see this just by looking at them. But they have that kind of tendency when you're riding it then for that to be accentuated. And sometimes your front end will kind of dive in corners a little bit. And as long as if you're just going slow, you're just doing the slower, more technical stuff, you don't really notice it. But if the speeds start to increase, then it would be like, it would almost seem like the front end would have a little bit more of a propensity to knife on you and tuck under, like tuck the front wheel under. This would happen a lot in, you know, sandy corners and things. It seemed like it was just, you know, so biased to the front wheel to give it this, you know, ability to turn quick and be nimble and stuff, that it was a little bit too far, and you could knife the front end really easily. It was just a little bit harder to corner and those types of things. Right now, they changed the frame on the XCW in 2020, and it is so much more balanced. It's not even funny. Yes, it's still really good at doing the slow technical stuff, but it also handles the faster stuff so much better. It just feels more stable at speed. And for most guys, they're just going to have one bike, and so you're like, well, I'm going to get the XCW because I want to do, you know, more of the slower technical single track and trails and stuff like that. And I think this bike now is the best of both worlds, where it's a little bit more stable at speed than it used to be. And it doesn't have that stink bug like look to it and feel. I mean, it still is just a teeny bit higher. And some people will say, well, that's the PDS. If the PDS is set up correctly, the PDS is the rear shock where it doesn't have a linkage. PDS is where the shock hooks on the top of the swing arm. The benefit there is that there's no linkage hanging down for you to hang up on rocks and roots and other things like that. It's also a little bit less maintenance, and it's lighter because it doesn't have quite as many, you know, moving parts. So the PDS, is as long as it's set up properly for your weight, I got to be honest, I cannot tell the difference. When I'm riding the bikes, even if we get out going through some whoops or whatever, I am not an adept enough rider where I have enough of awareness of what the bike is doing. I cannot tell the difference between PDS and linkage when I'm on them. More so, I can feel the difference in the front forks and how the bike reacts to, you know, the geometry that it has, but I can't really tell a difference on the rear end. So if you're out there going, well, I don't want to get the XCW because it doesn't have linkage, okay, if you're a motocross guy, then fine, that works for me. For you to say that, because this isn't a motocross bike anyway. But if you're an off-road trail guy, don't not get the bike just because it doesn't have linkage, because that's kind of silly to me. The stock suspension on this bike is fantastic. It's great. I've had people reaching out to me that are kind of the guys that are like, I tinker with all my suspension. I always get my suspension done, you know, and I'm trying to get A-kit stuff. I've had some of those people reach out to me telling me that, you know, wisely, they decided to ride the bike before they went out and spent a ton of money on the suspension, and they found out that this has the best stock suspension that they've had on any bike. And it is really, really good. Yes, it's very soft. Yes, it's very bump compliant, but that's the point. The point is for this bike to be able to absorb so much of that stuff, like the chop and the rocks and the roots and things. It just kind of absorbs all that stuff, and the suspension is freaking fantastic. You know, if we're talking fourth gear and down or third gear and down, this bike is really hard to beat. And if we're talking second gear and down, I'm not sure it can be beat as far as how well it's balanced and how well that suspension soaks up the bumps and the chop and the rocks and things like that. I love it. And it gives me a lot of confidence because that front wheel isn't deflecting all over the place. It isn't the lightest feeling front end bike. At least my 300 isn't. The 250, I'm sure the 250 has a little bit lighter feel. I have the 300 version, and it isn't the lightest feeling bike that I've felt. When I rode it back to back with the Beta 200 RR that I had, the Beta 200 RR did feel lighter than the KTM, even though it was just as heavy. I can't remember exactly how much it weighed, and I didn't actually weigh my freaking 300 XCW because I was so excited to put parts on it when I got it, I forgot all about weighing it. Generally speaking, the XCWs have been just a pound or two lighter than the XCs, and so I can only guess, and I totally whiffed on that because I was so excited to start putting some protection parts on the bike that I didn't weigh the sucker, and now it's got all these protection parts on it, and I'm not interested in pulling them off. Maybe I will someday pull all the stuff off and then put it on the scale, but anyway, that was a mistake on my part. But the point is the bike feels very light, but it isn't the lightest feeling bike that I've ever ridden. The Beta 200 RR was just really light, felt super light. So this one feels bigger and heavier than that Beta 200 RR does, but not to the point that it feels like a big, heavy lumbering bike. I'm just saying it isn't the lightest bike I've ever felt as far as the front end goes, but it's awesome. And it gives me so much confidence, and the bike just tracks straight and true. It's really great in the rocky, nasty terrain, and it handles things well. I mean, it stays as well planted as any bike that I've ever had, and I'm just thrilled with it. So enough about the suspension and the handling. Let's talk about the power. The power delivery on this bike is absolutely fantastic. It's one of the things that they really improved from the 2019 bike. The 2020 TPI bikes, and it doesn't matter, well, I guess, yeah, the 2020 TPI bikes, we had TPI in the XCWs in 18 and 19. And then we got the XC bikes moved over to, you know, the TPI technology in 2020. And I'll say it again, this bears repeating as many times as I can say it, because a lot of people don't know this. KTM did not go to TPI bikes, the TPI technology, because it's better than carburetors. That is not why they did it. They did it because they had to adhere to the Euro 5 standards in Europe, which are emission standards. They had passed a certain number of total production units where they were going to be held to a higher standard, similar to what the cars are held to, like BMW, Ferrari, Volkswagen. These car makers, I shouldn't say Ferrari, I don't know that they do, but like BMW and Volkswagen, these types of car makers, automakers make a certain amount of cars, and then they have to adhere to these standards. KTM surpassed those standards, so they have to meet those emission standards where GasGas and Beta do not. So GasGas and Beta and Sherco, they don't have to go to TPI. KTM did. And so they did. They went to TPI because they had to be able to control the emissions coming out of the bike, especially at idle. And at startup, and so they went to that thing. Well, it's not as easy as you think to make a carburetor, to make a, you know, these fuel injected two strokes to run, because they don't have mass airflow sensors. They don't have as many oxygen sensors and exhaust sensors. So it's really hard to make, because they can't add 50 pounds. Like your car can have 50, 60 pounds of sensors and technology on it to make it so it runs fine and it doesn't matter. On a dirt bike, you can't do that. So they couldn't add a ton of weight and it's been a hard nut to crack. I think they were really close in 2018. In 2019, I'm not even sure they made any improvements. It might have gotten slightly worse. And then in 2020, it seems to be dynamite. And that's where we're at. They have gotten this bike where the updated maps and everything in 2020 with the ambient air pressure sensor, it is freaking fantastic. And as far as how it starts, it's nearly as good as my carbureted bike. Now, the bike is, when it's actually running, it runs better than any carbureted bike I've ever had. It does, you know? So the only takeaway is that when you are just trying to start the bike, like cold starting, the TPI bikes have been not that great for that. In 2020, they are nearly as good as the carbureted bikes, just a skosh off of a carbureted bike as far as how quickly and how good it starts. The 2019s were horrible, horrible. My 2019 TPI bike is the worst, is the hardest to start bike when it's cold that I've ever had. And they solved so many of those problems in 2020. It's just so much better. It's so much better. As far as the power delivery is, it comes on. The bike is freaking snappy. This 300 that I have XCW came much more kind of like hot than my 2020 300 XC did. The 300 XC, which I got months and months before, I got it back in July of 2019. It felt really muted and docile and gentle, and I ended up turning my power valve out on that one. I did a whole YouTube video on this, talking about power valves and what you should do with them. Everyone is an individual. You can't just say, hey, you can turn the power valve out two turns from where it is or put it to flush or whatever. Every one of these things is an individual. Every single one of the TPI bikes, and there's been like eight of them that I've had, have all come different with different adjustments. And so what you have to do is you have to ride the bike for, you know, a couple hours and be like, hey, here's what I think is happening and then here's what I'm noticing, and then make slow minor adjustments on these power valves. And maybe you're going to take some of the preload away from that power valve so that it will come open faster. It'll make the bike hit a little harder. Maybe you need to mute it down. On my 2020 300XC, I had to basically, you know, unscrew the power valve a couple of turns. I did it really slow, but I got it where I wanted it. This one came further out, and it is just so, it's got so much power. I'm not, the only thing I want to do is mute it down. You know, it's freaking snappy. And so after my last ride, I decided I'm going to go back to the gray throttle cam. So what they do is from the factory, KTM has a softer, more milder throttle cam in the bikes, typically, at least in the XCWs. It's the gray throttle cam. They'll give you a black throttle cam in your tool, in your like manual kit and everything. And on some of the bikes, I had been replacing them to the black throttle cam to make it a little bit more aggressive. And I did that on my 250 XC for sure, and I really like how the power works on that one. On this one though, after my last couple of rides, I decided, you know what, I'm gonna go back to the gray throttle cam, which is the stock one, just to kind of soften the hit up on this bike, especially down low. It just makes it so that you have to twist the throttle a little bit more to get the same amount, you know. So it's changing the ratio of how quickly you're opening the throttle, and I just did that. After my last ride, I haven't ridden it yet, but I did want to soften the power back up. And so it just goes to show that these bikes are all so different and they're all an individual. And what I like, you might not like, but you need to kind of tune the bike, you know? So there's still tuning that goes into this, which is really cool, I think. And then, just as far as the power valve, I didn't adjust it. This one is a freaking goer. This bike has a ton of power. And, you know, some people have said, oh, the TPI bikes are softer on the bottom end. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But the thing is every single bike is an individual. Like some of the carbureted bikes run better and have a little bit more grunt than the other ones. And so I'm not willing to just say a blanket statement that the TPI bikes are softer on the bottom end, because the two that I have right now freaking hit hard. They both hit very hard to the point that I'm like, I think I need to soften up my 300 just a little bit for some of these enduro type trails, the soft enduro. I'm using air quotes of soft enduro. By the way, I had I had two people email me in the last 24 hours asking me about soft enduro. I had one guy emailing me. I think he was from Europe or somewhere. And he's like, Kyle, I've been having a hard time trying to figure out like what's the difference between soft enduro and hard enduro? Because it seems like you're always talking about how you're doing soft enduro, but I can't see the difference of what is soft enduro and what is hard enduro. And can you help me out with that? And I'm like, dude, it's just a joke. Because I've got some people out there that have told me, a lot of different people, trolls, that have told me that what the type of riding we're doing is not hard enduro because it's not a race. And so we've just laughed about that and we've turned it into a joke. And so we start calling it soft enduro, which I think is really funny. Well, it's confusing some people. And so setting the record straight, soft enduro and hard enduro, there is no difference. It's just that if, you know, some people think it's not hard enduro if there's not like a race going on or whatever. Anyway, I digress. There was another person that emailed me and they said, "Hey, I'm riding, you know, X bike and I'm doing soft enduro stuff, but I'm going to be transitioning into hard enduro stuff and I'm just wondering what bike you think I should use." And I responded back, I'm like, first off, there is no difference between hard enduro and soft enduro. It's just a joke. So I think the bike that you should get is, you know, XYZ, blah blah blah. It was pretty funny. Anyway, yeah, so that's a little fun side note. So how does this all relate to my 2019? This is, again, another spot where if you have a 2019 and you like your 2019 and it runs perfect, because there are some of you guys out there. I talked to two guys yesterday. One guy was having a couple of issues with his 2019, really similar issues to the ones that I have had with mine. And the next guy I was talking to, it's perfect. And he's like, "This is the best bike I've ever owned. And I've had three bikes and I love this one and it's the best." And so I know there's those two camps out there for sure. If you have a 2019 TPI or a 2018 TPI and it's the best bike out there and you love it and it runs great and it starts easily in the morning for you and everything, then this is the time for you to turn the podcast off. So I'm going to turn on the music so that you guys feel like you can leave. Yeah. So for all you guys out there, let's go ahead and leave a single track. Thank you. Okay. Now, for those of you guys that don't have a perfect running 2019 TPI bike, the rest of this podcast is for you. I have a 2019 and a 2020, and I've ridden them back to back, and there are enough changes, and the 2020 is enough better that I don't like my 2019 nearly as much as I used to. You know, and some guys are like, "Well, what if I put a Get ECU on my 2019? Well, that might solve it. Like you, some of the issues that you're having might be solved with like an air screw. And so you could go get you could go to Jeff Slavin's or whoever else and get a $30 air screw, which I did this week for my 2020 because I want to be able to adjust the idle a little bit better. When I'm going downhill, the idle is just lean enough that sometimes the bike will stall if I'm just, you know, going down a nasty hill or whatever. And I don't want to lean out the bike anymore. It's already out like 4.5 turns, the air bypass screw. So I'm going to put the idle screw mod on my 2020 XCW. But if you might be able to tune some of the issues out that you're having in your 2019 with an air screw, and you might still need the air screw mod on the 2020, but some guys are like, "Well, I'm going to go out there and get the Get ECU." The problem with the Get ECU that I had on my 2019 is that it solved some problems, but created others. So it did make the bike run smoother and ran like a screaming eagle in most areas, but every once in a while it would then stumble on itself, which it never did before. So the rough part of the bike kind of went away, where it was rough in kind of like the 1/8 to 1/4 throttle area. That was what was happening that's what happens on that particular bike when it has a stock ECU. When I put the Get ECU on there, that problem went away. But then every once in a while, it'd be every couple of rides, or maybe once on every ride, it would have this like stumble where you'd hit the gas and nothing would happen. Like you'd be in the throttle and you'd roll on the throttle the rest of the way, and you would prepare yourself for, you know, something violent to happen, and you're shifting your weight forward to compensate for the fact that it's going to be thrown backwards, and then nothing happens. You almost fall over the front of the bike. That has happened to me multiple times after I installed the Get ECU. It also became harder to cold start in the mornings, my 2019 did, once I had the Get ECU on there, to the point that it was ridiculous. Like, it was extremely difficult to start. If we were talking like temperatures below 40 degrees Fahrenheit, it was nearly impossible to get the thing started. So once it actually did start and warm up, then it started fine the rest of the day, but it was just so horrible to start. I've actually taken the Get ECU off the bike and gone back to stock because overall I'm like, I hate the way it's so cold starting with the Get on there. Now, some people would say, well, it was not getting enough fuel. This bike had so much fuel, the spark plug looked black. It had more fuel. It was getting more fuel than any bike I've ever had. And yes, I could go back to my, you know, tuner and get updated maps and keep working through that. And they're very good and they're very have great customer service and they would try to help me with that and everything. But I'm just over it. I'm over the 2019. I want to move on to other things which I already have. And so I've got the Get ECU off. And so, you know, you would spend anywhere from $900, maybe $1,100 if you do like the injector relocation, you know, mod and all this stuff. You'd be $1,100. I'm going, dude, just get the 2020 because your problems are basically going to go away. And I know it's an extra, you know, $2,000 or $2,500 or something like that. But I'm sitting there going, if you're going to spend $1,100 to get this aftermarket ECU that might not fix all of your issues, that's halfway or almost, you know, 20, 30, 40% of the way there to upgrading to a 2020. And for me, the 2020 is just so much better in all of these things. I mean, it's all the little things that add up. So it's not like they changed any one thing just like so it's monumental. It's just all these little things. It starts a little better. It runs a little better. It compensates for altitude while you're riding the bike. It has more, it's better balanced. It has a better front fork. All of these things just mean that the 2020 is just a better bike. It just is. If we're talking 2019 XC KTM versus 2020 XC KTM, I mean, I can make arguments for both. And I think, and I have done this. I've said like, look, if it's 2019 XC and you can save a little bit of money, go that route. It's going to be carbureted. It's still got the Kickstarter. You know, it's got all these things. It's great. Go for it. On the XEWs, I don't say that. On the XEW 19 to 20, there's enough changes and it's enough better that I would just bite the bullet, spend the extra $2,000 and get the 2020. That is my feeling and I'm sticking to that. So I love my 2020 XEW, 6.3 hours on it. I've changed the oil once already after doing, you know, my kind of initial ride or two. I changed the oil after 3 hours. And now I can just ride the bike and I've broken the fender off it. I've got a new fender coming for it. I've scratched up a few things on the bike. I've dented the pipe, but that's what they're made for, man. These things are incredible. They can take a ton of abuse and keep on coming. And it is my hard/soft enduro bike for the foreseeable future. If KTM has something awesome in 2021, maybe we'll check that out. We probably will if they make some big changes. But with all the COVID-19 stuff going on, who knows when that will happen? Which I'm really glad I bought the bike when I did, because after the COVID stuff happened, I think a lot of the production is going to be slowed down. So generally the new models would introduce them in May here, maybe in the next couple of weeks, and they might still do that. And then they would start hitting dealers sometime around July, August, you know, and that may be slowed down because of that. So I'm glad that I've got the 2020, because the 2021s could be a ways off. Okay. Just one more plug for my Dirt Bike Channel sweepstakes. If you haven't gotten entered, go ahead and go do that. It's over at dirtbikechannel.com. Every $5 gets you entered into the sweepstakes. We have a 2020 Beta that we're giving away, a 2020 Yamaha that we're giving away, and my 2019 KTM 300 XC WTPI, the one that I just kind of berated for the last 29 minutes. It's still an awesome bike, though. I mean, still, if you don't have a bike, this is awesome. It's just that when you compare the 2019 to the 2020, that's where it just kind of falls apart a little bit. But if you don't have a bike, I mean, I'm still giving you a prize that is freaking awesome. But that's just one of the cool things about Dirt Bike Channel is I'm not sugarcoating this. I'm telling you, hey, when I give out the 2020 XCW, it'll be even better because I was honest with you and I told you I like the 2020 better than the 2019. That doesn't mean the 2019 is a shiz prize. It just means I'm being honest with you. So, okay, that is what I have for you guys. This bumper music is going to end in 18 seconds. So what I have to do is I have to tell you to leave a single track and then I have to do this and fade my voice out and fade the music up.